Hello again. My name is Randy Formenti, and I'm coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky on September 3rd, where it's a very hot and humid day here in Louisville. Anyway, today I'm here to demonstrate a program that I wrote a couple years ago called B-Scan. That's B as in boy, S-C-A-N.exe. And the purpose of B-Scan is to use the QCAT, that's C-U-E-C-A-T, barcode reader that was given away by Radio Shack. I think they gave away thousands and millions of them. They were just handing them out every time we went to the store. And I think they quit about a year ago, but I'm sure there are plenty of these units available. The idea is that this company had the idea that you would use this unit to scan catalogs. They would have a symbol on them and a special barcode that you would scan, and it would automatically take you to the website of the manufacturer of this product. There are some good things about the idea, but it never seemed to take off, and I think whoever invested in that lost millions. The company that did it is called Digital Convergence, and they have a website, which is www.digitalconvergence.com, and they have other products. But the product we're going to talk about today is the QCAT barcode reader. And you may hear in the background, I guess there are locusts that are, the window's closed, but it's getting to the end of the season, I guess, and they're really very loud here. We have a big tree out in the backyard. Anyway, the QCAT barcode reader is, it looks like a cat out of the back end of this plastic cat is a cord, and the end of that cord plugs into where your computer keyboard goes. It has the DIN plug on it, round plug, keyboard plug. So you plug that into your keyboard, and then towards that end, there's a little pigtail coming off, and you plug your keyboard back into that little pigtail. So this unit is basically between your computer and your keyboard. Now, the unit does take power from the keyboard. It's a very, very small amount of power, so it doesn't bother anything. And it doesn't do anything. If you have any light perception, you can see that the there's light LED at the end of the nose end of the QCAT. And the idea is that you put your can or whatever product you want to scan, catalog, if it has a barcode, you put it on, or you know, right up to this lens of the QCAT barcode reader, and you move it across. You actually have to physically move it. You just don't set it there. It has to actually move across the barcode. The circuitry in the QCAT reader is very complex for giving something away. It really does some amazing things. It'll read countless types of barcodes. People think barcodes are very simple, but there's actually, I don't know how many dozens of barcode types out there. And this unit decodes all of them. The way it does it, it keeps track of the time that it finds each line of the barcode. And so within reason, you can scan these codes, these barcodes, at any speed. I believe the unit can even be upside down, and I don't believe it matters whether you're going forward or backward across the barcode. The thing will know, has the smarts enough. You know, it actually has a processor inside, along with memory and all that, and it will decode the barcode. Well, what's interesting about this barcode reader is that the output of this barcode reader is encrypted. In fact, every time you scan a barcode, it's as if you had typed probably about 48 characters from your keyboard. In most cases, the UPC, which is stands for the Universal Product Code Type A barcode, is 12 digits long. But this thing encrypts it because they didn't want anybody else to use it as a barcode reader. And what happened was that a couple hackers out there actually decrypted the algorithm that they used. It was relatively simple, much more complex than I could have dealt with, but they figured it out, and they published this on the web. And I think what the company wanted to do, first of all, each one of these QCAT readers has a serial number. It's not obvious what it is, but it's encrypted. Every time you scan a barcode, the thing outputs your serial number of your particular QCAT. And if you get the QCAT, it usually comes with a CD. And the average person would just install this software. And if you were connected to the net at the time, it would send the company the barcode. It would keep track of who you were, because in order to register, you install the software, you had to register, like with your email address and so forth. And I think it just added to the junk mail that that people got, and there were a lot of privacy concerns. So one of the reasons these people decoded how it was encrypted was that they didn't want their private information being given out. So since they came up with this algorithm, they put the source code there, and I took the routine and C and developed a DOS program that would clock's loud. Developed a DOS program that would actually add to a database and examine a database each time a barcode was read. And before I forget, let me tell you where to get this program. It's like my other programs. You can go to www.mindspring.com/tilde8bscan.zip. Now let me just describe a couple other solutions to scanning barcodes. I was just at the exhibit hall at the NFB convention in Louisville earlier this summer, and I had a chance to look at the IDMate, which is a portable unit. And it has a much better scanner than these than the QCAT barcode scanner, because all you needed to do with that unit is just put the can near it, whatever product you had, and the thing would scan it automatically as long as it was able to see the barcode. You didn't have to move it or do anything. But on the other hand, the disadvantage is that unit is I think it was like $1,400. And that unit is a portable unit. You, in theory, could take it to the grocery store and scan cans with it. It does not come with any kind of a product database. So unless you've previously scanned the product, it wouldn't have a clue as to what you were scanning. And so I think the fact that it's unlikely that anybody would take that to the store to look for products. Usually you'd bring your stuff home, figure out what it is, scan it, and put it into your own personal database. And, of course, that is a dedicated unit. You don't have to tie up your computer for that sort of thing. But it's an awful lot of money to spend. You can also get labels to put on cans. These labels can be read by the QCAT barcode reader and entered into the database. Each label that you get, they're never repeated. They're always they're unique labels, so you can associate them with clothing or cans. But I figure if you're going to do all that, they have Braille color tags, and you can also put labels on your cans if that's what you want to do. Rubber band, you know, with Dymo tape, so you can change them however you want to do. They make other kinds of labels. And next, I think I'll just talk to you a little bit about barcodes. Barcodes are used almost everywhere on every product you buy. In fact, they're even used on talking books. If you look on the side of a talking book, the side opposite where it has the indented rectangular label, which I think is the title of the book and so forth, right opposite that is another rectangular label that's just stuck on, and that that is a barcode. So NLS has used barcodes for several years. When talking books come in or any container comes in, it's automatically scanned. And from that information, they know the title of the book. They know, the RC number. They know who checked it out, and they can register it that its book has now had been returned. They've been doing that for years. It's a very efficient system. It's interesting to note that apparently every library is different. In other words, since I get my books from Kentucky, the Louisville Talking Book Library, as far as I understand it, a certain title there might have a different barcode than a library somewhere else. So supposedly, they each have made their own databases, although I'm not absolutely sure of that. But it is kind of interesting to think that talking books have barcodes. Another place that has barcodes, that uses barcodes all the time, is the post office. In fact, I believe in Word, Microsoft Word, you can actually print a barcode on your envelope, which, as far as I know, is a zip code, probably the 9-digit zip code. Sometimes when you get free matter, they put little stickers. I'm not sure the whole purpose of that, but if you can scan those little peel-off stickers, and that'll have several digits of your zip code as a barcode. And many books have their own barcode, different types of barcode that has the title and author of the book. Most barcodes that I'm familiar with are actually decode into numbers. The UPC Type A barcodes are 11 digits long plus a checksum digit. And the purpose of that checksum digit is to validate the code. In other words, there's a formula that any barcode scanning program has that it uses the first 11 digits of the code to compute a checksum digit, and if the 12th digit does not agree with what the computer thinks it should, then it's considered an invalid code. So it's a way of ensuring consistency of your data. Well, some more about barcodes. I found it very difficult to get a product database of barcodes. It's almost like it's intellectual property. I know you can purchase databases. I mean, that's what supermarkets do. They have a database of barcodes, products, and prices. I've checked all over on the web, and I found some miscellaneous data, and there's probably about 800 products that I ship data on with bscan.zip. I have no idea how accurate they are or how current they are, but every now and then when I scan something, it does actually know what it is, even though I haven't typed it in myself. So again, the normal barcode is 12 digits long. The first 11 digits are the actual code, and the last one is the checksum digit. The first, I believe, six numbers of this code indicate the manufacturer's type. Supposedly you can tell the manufacturer from just that code, and the other leftover digits identify the product. So there's a huge number of digits available, and it's unlikely that anybody's going to run out of barcodes anytime soon. And I'm not sure the name of it, but there are actually, barcode organizations. There are standards that have been set to assign these manufacturer types, and then once that has been assigned, the manufacturer's code, whatever, then they can give their product whatever number they want. So, running the program, what you do is you you first have to install your QCAT by unplugging your keyboard, plugging it into the computer, and then plugging your keyboard back into the little pigtail. You can actually get keyboard extensions, the keyboard cord extensions, extension cords, so that you can, if it's not long enough, you can have plenty of room to do whatever you need to do with your QCAT. And like I say, if it's not in use, you can just lay it down on the table or the desk. It's not going to interfere with your keyboard. So to install the program, what you do is you unzip it to a scratch directory. And the files you actually need to copy somewhere on your path are bscan.exe, bscan.txt, and bscanman.txt. And of course, there's a readme.txt file you should definitely read. The bscan.txt file is a database containing all previously scanned products. If you look at the file, you can read it with a normal text editor. It has the barcode, either 7 or 12 digits, usually, followed by a space and then the name of the product. And as long as the line, I believe, is less than 80 columns, you can put whatever you want in the product. The other file, bscanman.txt, is a database of manufacturers. So it's possible that the program might think it knows the manufacturer, but it still doesn't know the product because manufacturers, you know, obviously can make more than one product. But I felt that even if you didn't know exactly what the product was, knowing who the manufacturer was would be useful information to have. Now, the bscan.txt and bscanman.txt have to be in the same directory as bscan.exe. That's where the program looks for them. So if you put them somewhere else, the program's not going to be able to find them. Okay, so I have DOS, of course, on my machine. And I will explain how to use the program from Windows in a little while here. Okay, we're going to type in bscan.
Scan enter barcode colon.
And you get the enter barcode prompt. Well, there are a couple ways of entering barcodes. You can actually enter the encrypted barcode, which is pretty impractical. It was mostly left in there for debugging purposes and so forth. And it will convert it to a barcode. You can scan a barcode with a QCAT barcode reader, which is going to be as if you had typed these encrypted digits and letters from your keyboard. Or you can actually enter the barcode itself. Anytime you have a barcode, I believe it's below the barcode. It could be above, but somewhere above or below the barcode is a printed are the printed digits that the barcode represents. So it's possible that the QCAT will not scan the barcode correctly. That is a little bit of a problem. It could be a contrast problem, not enough contrast. There could be a dirt or something on the can or whatever product you want to scan. Occasionally, doesn't always happen, but occasionally you will not be able to scan a barcode. So it can be a problem because, for one thing, you may not actually know where a barcode is supposed to be, and then even if you know where it is, it may not scan properly. There are ways to figure out where barcodes are, usually, if you do it enough. For example, on cans, you can usually, if the cans are stackable, that is, if they have a bottom to them, you can only open them from the top. And so you know what the orientation of the can is supposed to be. And the barcode's usually around a half inch from the bottom, somewhere near the seam. So you can put the seam right near the lens of the QCAT and rotate the can around the seam, and do that a few times, and you usually will get a proper scan. But if you don't get a scan and you still want to enter the barcode in your data, you can actually type in the 12-digit barcode, and it will interrogate the database. The database, like I say, is a text file, so it's every time you do a scan, it's going to go through these 1,000 entries. So if you had a huge database, you know, there could be you might have to wait a few seconds. But the chances of having a large database like that, since it's so difficult to get a listing of what products are what, are remote, and for the average person, this will be plenty good enough. Anyway, as a demonstration, I have some cans here. I have 3 cans that I know scan. I don't know exactly what they are. I know what one is, and I don't know what the other two are. What happens is she buys me a bunch of cans. The wife buys a bunch of cans that I like. It could be ravioli, could be such and such. And I have a place for them so that when she's not here and I want a can, I can just, I'm kind of like a dog or a cat. I really don't care what it is. It's in a can and I'll eat it. So it's not like I'm going to open up a can of condensed milk when I want a fruit cocktail or something like that. So I haven't been terribly concerned as to what the products are. Anyway, I have 3 cans here, so we're at the enter barcode prompt. You can always hit escape at any time, and you can get out of the program.
Seek later done.
You're back to the DOS prompt. I'll type in B-scan again.
Scan, enter barcode, colon.
You can type in just garbage. You can type in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 0, 1, 2.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 1, 2. This manufacturer is not in your database, period. Enter manufacturer, colon.
Well, that was kind of a bad example because apparently the checksum that I wanted to point out the fact that if you just typed in 12 random digits, it probably would not, the checksum digit would not be correct. So it just happened to be that that apparently is correct. And it's asking me for a manufacturer. So the program doesn't really care whether you type the barcode in from the keyboard or swipe it using the QCAT. So I don't want to enter that. That's just garbage data. So if you press enter,
this product is not in your database, period. Enter product description, colon.
It'll skip the manufacturer. It has not entered anything in the database. And you can just press enter again.
Enter barcode, colon.
And it's not entered anything in the product database. You haven't really ruined anything. So I'll go ahead and actually get a can. Like I say, I don't know what it is. Put it on the computer table here. It's one of these stackable cans, so I know what the can orientation is supposed to be. And we'll just scan it here.
Period. C3NZ C3NZ C3NXDHK1DHD1CXN X period. FHMC period. C3B3CNB3C3D2BXVX period. This manufacturer is not in your database, period. Enter manufacturer, colon.
Now, those, that kind of garbage in the beginning was actually the encrypted form of the barcode. And the reason you heard that, I believe, is because keyboard echo is on. If I turned it off, you might not hear that. So I don't know what the manufacturer of this can is. One of the things you can do is just make something up so that when you find out, you can always, you know, save the can later. I don't like to scan things that I've already opened because I don't want any food to get into anything. It's kind of messy, so I don't like to do that. But I can always do it after the fact if I really care to. So I can put main menu if I want.
Main. Menu, chicken parmesan, enter barcode, colon.
Well, that's obviously wrong. It knew who the product was. It was chicken parmesan, but it didn't know who the manufacturer was, so that's kind of silly here. So we'll get another can. And let's see here.
period, C3 and Z, C3 and Z, C3 and X, DH, K1, DH, D1, CX and X period, FHM, C period, C3, B3, C and D3, C3, DW, CH, D0 period, manufacturer, colon, main menu, this product is not in your database period, enter product description, colon.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Whatever it is, whatever this can is, it has the same manufacturer as the last one, which we don't know. So it figured out that we put a main menu in it. So I'll just type in something silly like...
Pack. Chili, enter barcode, colon.
I typed in ACB chili. So we'll get another can here. And we'll scan away here.
Period, C3 and Z, C3 and Z, C3 and X, DH, K1, DH, D1, CX and X, period, FHM, C, period, C3, B3, C and D3, C3, DX, C and F7, period, manufacturer, colon, main menu, this product is not in your database, period, enter product description, colon.
I'll put in ACB corn, let's say.
A, C, B, corn, enter barcode, colon.
I'll scan that can again. Just for something to do here.
Period, C3 and Z, C3 and Z, C3 and X, DH, K1, DH, D1, CX and X, period, FHM, C, period, C3, B3, C and D3, C3, DX, C and F7, period, manufacturer, colon, main menu, ACB, colon, enter, barcode, colon.
And just for completeness, I'll go ahead and scan another can. One of the earlier ones, I don't even remember what it is.
Period, C3 and Z, C3 and Z, C3 and X, DH, K1, DH, D1, CX and X, period, FHM, C, period, C3, B3, C and D3, C3, D2, DX, VX, period, manufacturer, colon, main menu, chicken parmesan, enter barcode, colon.
Okay, well, I guess that's enough of that. I'll go ahead and press enter, since I don't want to enter any more barcodes.
C greater than.
You'll notice that any valid barcode decrypted by the QCAT reader will start with a period. In fact, as I remember, a period separates the different segments. There's a serial number segment, there's a code segment, there's a revision segment. It's actually quite interesting. If you do a Google search on the website of the person who cracked it, you can go ahead and edit that database if you don't like any of those product names or you later want to go back and fix it. You can just use your word processor. It's going to be at the end of the data, so just go down to the bottom of the file and find the entry you want to change and change it and then save the file. So there's nothing wrong with putting product names if you're not exactly sure what they are. You can always go back and change them. And I just happen to have a talking book here. I'll even tell you what the... Okay. It's number 42292. I'll go ahead and scan it. And this is what happens. I'll start VScan again.
Scan, enter barcode, colon. Period, C3 and Z, C3 and Z, C3 and X, DH, K1, DH, D1, CX and X, period, OX, X, period, C3, R, Z, CX, D2, by period, barcode type equals C3, I, barcode equals 07024531, enter barcode, colon.
So what happens there, since the program didn't know what to do with that barcode type, every barcode has a type. I don't know if the program knows... every single barcode type there is, but it's calling it type C39. I'm sure that has some significance. And that seems to be the type of all talking books that have barcodes. And then it, since it didn't know what it wasn't going to add them to your product database. It just gave you what the barcode was. And this probably has no meaning except for the library in Kentucky here. So now I'll do a short demonstration of how to use the program in Windows. It's still a DOS program, so you're going to have the same limitations you do if you don't have a speech hardware synthesizer. So I'll go ahead and I'll exit out of there, and then I'll exit back to Windows. Now, I have a shortcut set up, I believe. I'll control B for B scan, so I'll go ahead and start that.
Menu closed button, start. Scan.
And you don't hear anything, but on the screen it's going to say enter barcode. So I'll go ahead and do that. I can find my can here. Huh, that was interesting. Okay, I think that's the beep you hear, or the noise you want to hear. I think we got the car horn beep because I had accidentally pressed another key or something, and it didn't think it was a valid barcode. So now using the mouse review keys, you're still in Windows. The DOS program is finished. You can use your mouse review keys.
Auto. Grab it. Enter. Code. Enter. Manufacturer name. Menu. Chicken Parmesan.
So then we can go ahead and close that window with Alt-F4.
Desktop. List new. Winamp. 28 of 30. Start menu. Menu closed. Button. Start. MS-DOS ROM ports. See greater than.
And we can go back to DOS if you want. So that's about it for the B-Scan program. I hope this gives you an idea of what barcodes can be used for. They're very useful. I always thought that maybe a solution to the paper currency problem would be to put barcodes on U.S. bills. I think they are already on Canadian bills. And, you know, the QCAT reader is by no means the perfect solution. You have to be very careful where you put the thing to do a scan. It's not impossible, but you could get frustrated and impatient. And so if someone can come up with a better scanner, it'd be very useful. So this is Randy Fermetti from Louisville, Kentucky. And if you have any other questions about this program, you can email me at n8kl@mindspring.com.